2014. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the Siberian-like sub-zero Chicago suburbs. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see the names of all the guests that I've ever had on the program since October 23rd, 2010, as well as links to their websites. Just visit my website and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit spingolaspeaks.info or spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com for links and files not found elsewhere. These sites were created by one of our very talented listeners, and he established them to augment information not found elsewhere. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. I have updated the timeline that is found on my website, and it is a timeline of book 2 and 3 and certainly is a work in progress. On January 31st, 1991, the House of Representatives introduced a resolution to designate March 26, 1991 as Education Day, actually a day to recognize the 89th birthday of Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson, the zealous leader of the Lubavitch movement. The resolution was also a deceptive way of passing the Noahide laws through which the government could control the American people, eliminate Christianity, and eliminate all Christians, and enslave the remaining Gentiles. We will take calls in the second hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Dr. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. Dr. Day, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
It's become rather unpopular to be a Christian in America.
Well, that's the goal of the Illuminati, yes. That's the goal. They don't want Christians or Christianity around. It's happening now, just like the time of Christ when the Pharisees wanted to blot out all Christians, all Christianity, and Jesus Christ himself. We are entering that era now.
And actually, the spiritual proclivities or beliefs of someone else are really nobody's business and should not be the topic of conversation or debate in chat rooms, forums, and elsewhere. But despite that fact, this is happening. Within the so-called truth movement.
Well, what we really have to understand is that this is the great controversy between Christ and Satan. This is really Armageddon. Armageddon is not going to be a battle fought on the plains of Megiddo. That's not what it is. Armageddon is the battle between Christ and Satan from the very beginning when Satan first tempted Eve. It's the battle between Christ and Satan for the hearts of man. And Satan wants to be worshipped. He wants to have everybody in the world worship him. And the Illuminati and those who are passing these laws are the ones who are working for Satan to blot out Christianity. Now, the important thing to understand is when these things are happening that we're discussing today, it shows you that Satan is getting very upset. He wanted a new world order government, one world government, and a new world order religion that essentially worships Lucifer, or Satan, a new age religion. He wanted that in place by the year 2000. They are now 14 years behind, and he's getting upset because he knows better than we do when Christ is coming back. Now, nobody knows the day or the hour, but Jesus told us to watch for the signs. So if you look at the enemy, and he's getting more and more upset, and there are more and more laws and control and elimination of Christianity coming about, then we realize that the time of Christ's coming is approaching.
Exactly. And of course, I personally believe that there has been a great deal of infiltration into all of the churches, and we have what is a 501c3 churchianity, and this has really enabled the adversary to take over, to implant things within within people's minds. Well, just the wrong thing. They can't talk about the things in church that are really important, and it has really marginalized churches. And furthermore, I mean, we live in the United States, a supposedly Christian nation, is the most militarily aggressive nation on the planet, and that is really bad. And of course, that should not impact the deeply held personal beliefs that people hold. And of course, I also believe that you can certainly have moral values without embracing a particular church. You don't have to be a Christian to have moral values.
Well, except every moral value came from Jesus Christ. So if you really have moral values, that's the only place they came from. You don't have to be a member of an organized church to be a follower of Jesus. But
right.
All moral values came from Jesus Christ. They didn't come from Buddha. They didn't come from Krishna. They didn't come from Muhammad. They came from Jesus Christ, the Ten Commandments, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And with Muhammad and Krishna and Buddha, they can't really help us. They're a system of salvation by works. So I'm not saying that people who are not Christians can't do some good. But the whole thing is everybody, in fact, you know, the worst criminal frequently loves his mother. Okay, so he'll have some good. But in order to truly be able to love your enemies and to do good to those who hate you, you really have to have the heart of Jesus Christ, because that's not, that way of behaving is not in the human heart without that.
Okay. All right. I can certainly appreciate that. Today we're going to talk about something terrible that happened, and I mentioned it, in 1991, which is absolutely unknown. Except to a small minority of the people, that Congress passed this horrific law, the Noahide laws, and they are in the process of implementing it. And so today I thought you could talk about what the law says, what it implies, and how you see it being implemented. And I see it being implemented just in a small way in the fact that there's such vilification of Christians, and that people who used to talk about being a Christian, you know, a couple decades ago, now it's kind of a secret. In fact, I was at a Christmas party before Christmas, and I was talking with the lady next to me, and we just had this wonderful, wonderful conversation. And she said, "May I ask you a very, very personal question?" And she said, and she was very secretive about it. She said, "Are you a Christian?" As if this was some sort of terrible thing that people don't talk about in public. I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people are afraid to talk about being a Christian. They're afraid to share their faith. And I'm not suggesting that we accost people on the street and take them by the lapels and shake them. I'm just saying share your faith with someone who wants to know.
Sure.
And so, but people are afraid to do that. People are excessively afraid of saying anything about the Jew. They're terrified of saying anything about the Jew. But truth is truth. There are good people in every ethnicity, and there are bad people in every ethnicity. I am in the business, as you are, of promoting truth and exposing lies. And so let the chips fall where they may. But everybody is terrified. If you tell a funny joke about someone from Finland, nobody does anything. If you tell a funny joke about someone from Russia, nobody says anything. If you tell a funny joke about a Jew, everybody starts looking over their shoulder and looking worried.
Exactly. All right, Dr. Day, we are going to a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsor. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible, which is a very very fascinating book and needs one's attention. It is very well sourced. It's a very long book, has lots of great information in it, and I highly recommend it. All righty, you were talking about the fact that it is just politically incorrect to discuss Jews, to talk about Jews, to mention Jews, to tell a joke about Jews. You cannot mention Jews in America or elsewhere.
In most countries, it's the same way. And the way they have done that, programmed the people, is they said, well, the Jews have suffered so much. But I'm sure on your program you have informed your listeners of the hoax of the Holocaust. But this is the way they've tried to shut people up. And yet, what the Jews did to Germans after the war was horrendous, as I'm sure you have informed your listeners. And they killed many more people, the Allies, because the Jews were running our country at the time of World War II. Eisenhower was a Jew. It says so in his West Point yearbook. And so Eisenhower was a Jew who was masquerading as a Gentile and destroyed millions of Germans in open-air concentration camps where there was just fences around. They fed them almost nothing, and they died from exposure to the elements, millions of Germans.
Exactly.
So, but they shut people up by saying, oh, you know, the 6 million. But let's get back to the Noahide laws. Noahide laws have nothing to do with Noah, even though the Jews tell you they do. They had nothing to do with Noah. And then they say, well, God gave the Noahide laws to Adam. Well, there's no biblical evidence for that. There's no biblical evidence for the Noahide laws in the Bible whatsoever. They came from the Jewish Talmud. The Jewish Talmud is the holiest book. It's a series of books, over 100 books. It's the holiest books of Judaism, but they were written right by rabbis who were not in touch with God. And not only that, they have no relationship to truth. Now, here's how the whole thing happened. In 1991, as you said, these Noahide laws were passed in order to control non-Jews in America. They are supposedly for Gentiles, which they can say are non-Jews. All right, all non-Jews. It was passed under the radar because it was enfolded into a bill that was about a birthday celebration for Rabbi Menachem Schneerson. Now, many have believed that Schneerson is their Messiah. And even though now he is dead, they believe that he's going to be resurrected and come back as the Jewish Messiah. So he was a very important rabbi. Well, no mention was made of the Noahide laws, and no mention was even made of this bill to honor Rabbi Schneerson in the regular House of Representatives. And I know that for sure because at the time my husband was a member of the House of Representatives. He was a congressman. He was there on the floor in Congress that day. That bill was never brought up. All the congressmen at the end of the day were told to go home. There would be no more votes. And then after that, they were all told to go home. Four congressmen stayed behind with nobody else there and under the radar approved this bill by quote-unquote unanimous consent. So none of their names would have to be noted that they voted for this. Anytime you hear unanimous consent, you got to perk up your ears because something underhanded is going on. So naturally unanimous consent, because all the other 400 plus congressmen were gone and there were only these four who stayed behind. And what this supposed celebration for Rabbi Schneerson was to be was to enforce the Noahide laws as the basis of our civilization. Well, the basis of American civilization is supposed to be the Ten Commandments. Now, the Noahide laws, on the surface, appear to be oh, pretty well, pretty good. They sound good. But what you have to do is then go back to the Talmud, which is their origin, and find out what those things really mean. Now, I'm looking for, in this article, I'm looking for an actual wording from the Noahide laws. The important one that we have to look at, there are about seven Noahide laws. And again, they come from the Jewish Talmud. And the important one that we're going to talk about today is that they will not permit idolatry. Well, that sounds okay. You know, you shouldn't worship idols and all. But what people don't know is that the Jewish Talmud defines idolatry as the worship of Jesus Christ. That, to the Jews, is idolatry. They say that anybody who worships Jesus Christ, the penalty is death, and furthermore, death by beheading by the guillotine. Okay? Here are the Noahide laws from the Encyclopedia of Judaism. One, civil justice, the duty to establish a legal system, except they control the legal system. Two, prohibition of blasphemy, which includes lying, except in Judaism, they go to temple to repeat the Kol Nidre oath, which is to absolve them of all the cheating, lying, and stealing they're going to do in the next year. So for them to suggest nobody can lie, that's only for Gentiles, you see.
Right.
Three, the abandonment of idolatry. Well, there's what it comes in. People say, well, you know, that sounds good. But you have to know what that is defined as in the Jewish Talmud. And what it's defined as is worshiping Jesus Christ, because they believed that Jesus Christ was an imposter. And they hated him, and they called for his death. And you see, they say that Jesus is now burning in hot excrement in hell. That's what it says in the Talmud. It says that Jesus' mother was a whore. Right? They also say that even the best of all the Gentiles should all be killed. People don't understand what is in that book, because they sometimes call the Old Testament the Torah. But frequently when they say Torah, they're actually referring to the Talmud. So they mix up these terms to keep the non-Jews confused about what they're talking about. Judaism is not governed by the Old Testament. It's governed by the Babylonian Talmud that was written down by the Pharisees after the destruction of Jerusalem and after Jesus Christ was crucified. Christianity did not come out of Judaism. There were no Jews in the Old Testament. There were no Jews actually in the New Testament. The word Jew doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. The word is Judean, and it referred to the God you worshiped. If you worshiped the God that was in the temple in Jerusalem, which was in Judea, you were a Judean, as opposed to the nations that the Bible says knew not God. The nations were the pagans who worshiped many gods. The Judeans were those who worshiped one true God. But you see, by one reason I wrote the book, Who Rewrote the Bible, is that this was a distinction of who you worshiped. But by changing it from Judeans and nations or heathen to Jews and Gentiles, they tried to make it into an ethnicity. As you well know, the Jews of today are not descendants of the Israelites of the Old Testament.
Exactly. We do have a real quick 3-minute break. We will be right back. I hate to interrupt, but we do need to have... We do need to hear from our sponsors. They are what makes it possible for us to talk on RBN. Be right back. Today is Dr. Lorraine Day, the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. And right before the break, you said that we do understand that the Jews say, or the people that say they are Jews today, have absolutely no ethnic connection to the land of Jerusalem, to the land that people now refer to, well, I don't refer to it, but the Israeli state. They have no ethnic connection. They shouldn't be there. And also, there was a question in the chat room. Do you think that Jesus was Jewish?
No. Jesus was not Jew. Jesus was God. He was God. God is not Jewish. Although the Jewish denomination would like to let you think that they're Jew, that he was a Jew, but he was not Jewish. And in fact, many people who are in the group of Jews for Jesus or Judeo-Christian organizations, they think, well, I believe Jesus was the Messiah because he was Jewish. Well, he was not Jewish. There were no Jews in the Bible at all. In the Old Testament, where they used the word Jew, I think only once or twice, they were Israelites. You see, Abraham is considered to be the father of the Jews, but Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham and Sarah came from Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees. They weren't Jewish. When they came to the land of Canaan, which was a totally heathen nation, that didn't make them Jewish. And then they had Isaac. Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, who was the son of two Babylonians. He wasn't Jewish. Then Isaac had Jacob and Esau, who were not Jewish. Esau is never considered to be a Jew, even by the Jews. And yet, Jacob and Esau were twin brothers who came out of the womb at the same time. How could one be a Jew and one be a Gentile if we're talking about ethnicity? Jacob, the name Jacob means that he would not tell the truth. And then when he finally, near the end of his life, quit lying, for which he reaped what he had sown by having his father-in-law lie to him and give him the wrong wife and all that, finally, when he decided to do it God's way, God changed his name to Israel. He didn't change Jacob's genes. He changed his name because his character had changed. People in the Old Testament were named according to their character. Methuselah, he was the oldest man who ever lived. He lived to be 969 years old. What his name meant was a prophecy. It says, when he dies, it will be sent. That's what Methuselah means. Well, the year he died, the flood came. So they were named after their character, or they were named a prophecy. And so when Jacob started really following God, his name was changed to Israel, which meant one with God. And those who followed after him and worshiped the same God were called Israel. So you see, when Jacob had 12 sons by four different women, and then they went down into Egypt, that didn't make them Jewish. And then when they came out of Egypt for the Exodus, it says they came out as a mixed multitude. Going down into Egypt didn't make them Jewish. And then when they went into the land of Canaan and intermarried with a whole lot of heathen, that didn't make them Jewish. When did they become Jewish? You see, the Jewish religion started from the writing down of the Talmud, which were the oral doctrines, traditions passed down by the Pharisees, which Jesus strongly rebuked as making the scriptures of none effect. And they were oral traditions until after Jesus was crucified and after the temple was destroyed. Then the Pharisees in Babylon wrote down these oral traditions, which made the scriptures of none effect, and it became the Talmud. And that is the holiest book of Judaism. In synagogues, they will take scrolls of the Old Testament that are rolled up, and they will carry them through the synagogue as an icon. They don't study them. They study the Talmud. It even says in the Talmud that it is worthless to study the Old Testament, but God reveres those who study the Talmud. But the Talmud is a horrible book, a series of books. It says here, I'm giving you the references too. Here's the reference, Sanhedrin 58b. If a Gentile hits a Jew, the Gentile must be killed. Sanhedrin 57a. A Jew need not pay a Gentile the wages owed him. Another, Baba Metzia 24a. If a Jew finds an object lost by a Gentile, it does not have to be returned to the Gentile. Jews may rob and kill non-Jews. Sanhedrin 57a. When a Jew murders a Gentile, there will be no death penalty. What a Jew steals from a Gentile, he may keep. The Gentiles are outside the protection of the law, and the God has exposed their money to the Jews. I mean, these are the things that are in this supposedly holy book that governs the life of every Jew, whether they're Orthodox or secular or agnostic.
Wow. Well, I wonder, when you were talking about money, the money situation, I thought of Bernie Madoff. I mean, yes. He literally could have gotten away with what he did, and probably had for a good number of years. But somebody probably just exposed him, and I think he's typical.
Well, Bernie Madoff is typical of the Jews. His biggest mistake was to steal from Jews. See, that's not really allowed. And most of the people he stole from were Jews. That's why he got caught. There have been documentaries on it, and accountants, and in the FTC and various other places, these people are mainly lawyers. They're not accountants. A major accountant has said all you had to do was look at Bernie Madoff's information that was publicly known for 5 minutes, and he could figure out it was a fraud. And he reported it to the powers that be that govern these sorts of things, and he said he reported it every year for at least 8 years. They did nothing. Because
wow.
he was very respected in the Jewish community. But finally, so many Jews got taken for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars by him, that they finally rose up against him. You know, there's this a television show called American Greed. That's not American greed. At least 80% of those who are found to be so greedy that they take people's money wrongly, they're Jews. It should be called Jewish greed. But they want to denigrate America by calling it American greed, you see. And this is all a setup, actually, for getting rid of capitalism and bringing in communism. Because, you see, these people are just too greedy. We want everybody to be equal. And when I even have talked to a granddaughter that I have, who's been through a Christian college, and I talk about communism, she said, well, communism has never really been tried. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, real communism. I said, yes, real communism has been tried. It's in Russia. It's in many of those other countries. Real communism has been tried. It doesn't work because, see, what people don't realize is that Satan has no creative thoughts of his own. He can only mimic or degrade a program that God has set up. God has set up the plan of salvation, which truly, when he changes everyone's heart, everyone will love their enemies, there will be no enemies, and everyone will get according to their need and give according to their substance, you see. But communism is the plan of salvation without God, which is, well, everybody's equal, everything to their from their substance and everything to their need, except, as George Orwell has shown, I think, in Animal Farm, in communism, some are more equal than others. You will notice that even in America, everybody's being forced to sign up for Obamacare, except the Congress.
Exactly. And of course, capitalism was actually the Rothschild plan, which he called the European plan. And so capitalism works on the same principle as communism, except that we have the illusion that we're free when, in fact, we aren't, as you've just demonstrated with the Obamacare and the fact that Congress does not have to abide by it or
That's
sign
correct.
Up for it.
Not only that, Nancy Pelosi herself has exempted certain corporations in her district from having to use Obamacare.
Oh, of course. Okay. And if she did it, then you can bet that a lot of the other Congress critters have done the same thing.
Of course. And so there's no freedom. People, you know, I just wrote an article recently that will eventually be on my website you know, Americans stand up and they put their hand over their heart and they say they pledge allegiance to a flag. Well, first of all, pledging allegiance to a flag is pretty stupid because a flag can do nothing for you. Pledge allegiance to the government, and yet Christians are supposed to be pledging their allegiance to God.
Exactly. Dr. Day, we do have a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com, where you will find a lot of very, very wonderful articles and resources and her life and her story about her bout with breast cancer. A lot of resources, a lot of information, a lot of inspiration there on those two websites, and I hope that you will visit them. Just to note that RBN is continuing the pledge drive, and for a donation of $100, you may receive an RBN t-shirt and an RBN mug, and or 25 copper Republic or Texas coins, Republic of Texas coins, I'm sorry. To do that, you may call 800-724-2719 and make your donation. All righty, Dr. Day, welcome back.
Thank you. We were talking before about this being the great controversy between Christ and Satan for the hearts of man. We can talk a little bit about what's happening in Hollywood. As you well know, the Jews own Hollywood. And for stars to become big stars, whether they're singers or actresses, they have to really sign on with Satan. Katy Perry has admitted that publicly. Roseanne Barr has admitted that publicly. And so has Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan was being interviewed by Ed Bradley, formerly of 60 Minutes, and he was asked, why are you still on the road at age 70? And he said, you must be tired of being on the road, and you must have made enough money that you don't have to be on the road touring again after you're 70 years old. Bob Dylan said, I have to hold up my end of the deal. And Ed Bradley said, what do you mean? What deal? Who did you make the deal with? He said, the big one. And he said, do you mean the head of the record company? No, he said, the big one. And
yikes.
He said, I made a deal early on in my career to follow the big one, and I have to hold up my end of the deal. Okay? And that was certainly not God.
No.
And Katy Perry has said the same thing. She said that when she became a performer, she was moderately popular, but in order to be a big star, she had to sign an agreement that she would worship Satan. And Roseanne Barr has admitted publicly that she has sold her soul to Satan. And look what happens to these young women when they do sell their soul to Satan. Look what has happened to Britney Spears' life.
They get on
drugs. All of their music videos worship Satan. They have all the Illuminati logos in there. They go from being a sweet young woman to being a masochistic, satanic monster. Look what's happened to Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus has clearly sold her soul. So you see, all of these young women have become the idols of the young girls of America. And so they want to follow in their footsteps. And the footsteps are worshiping Satan. There's a whole New Age religion coming about. And people don't realize that in the churches they're being programmed. You said earlier that these Illuminati Jewish forces have invaded the Christian churches, and you are absolutely right, and they brag about it. They brag, but not the churches, but they don't understand they have been invaded. I went to meet some friends at a church just 2 months ago that's actually in Garden Grove, California. And I was shocked when I drove up to the church. It is a fundamentalist Christian church. It's built in the form of a pyramid, an uncapped pyramid.
Yikes.
And I said to the pastor and to a woman that I met there, who actually we have a close mutual friend, was that was one of my best friends in grade school and was one of her best friends in high school in another city. And I said to her, why did you build this thing in the form of an uncapped pyramid? And she looked at me blank. She had no clue. I talked to the pastor. He had no clue. Now, if these people were really connected to God, God says he'll lead us, if we follow him, he'll lead us into all truth. These churches aren't, they have no clue as to what's going on. This is a pyramid. The uncapped part, just like on the back of your dollar bill, is windows in between the regular part of the pyramid and the part that hasn't come down to cap it yet. I mean, I was so shocked. How could this happen? But of course, all the churches have phallic symbols on their roofs with, that are steeples, which are nothing but phallic, heathen pagan phallic symbols. And so the churches have been invaded, and they're having these numbing kind of chanting songs that are not the old songs that people used to sing in church. They're these light, flimsy ditties that make people sway back and forth. And churches have really become social networking agencies rather than worshiping God. In fact, God says, my presence does not dwell in temples made with hands. So these people aren't learning about God. They're actually being led astray because they're being taught, as I show in my book, Who Rewrote the Bible, there are many words that are written into the English translation that are not there in the original, in the original Greek and Hebrew. And you don't have to be a Greek and Hebrew scholar to understand it. All you have to have is an interlinear Bible that has the English underneath the Greek and Hebrew and all the numbers of the words that you can look up in Strong's Concordance. I am not an extensive Hebrew and Greek scholar at all. But as I was studying the Bible, and I started doing this because I had what was diagnosed as terminal cancer, and I was very, very sick with breast cancer. I refused chemotherapy and radiation and mastectomy because as a physician, I know they don't work. A few people survive, but they never have their cancer cured. You can't cut cancer out. You see, we physicians are always taught to work at the wrong end of cancer. We're taught, poison out the tumor with chemotherapy, burn it out with radiation, or cut it out with mutilating surgery. But you see, it's not the cancer that's causing the person to be sick. It's their sick body that has caused the cancer. So you've got to get your body well. The body gets sick by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. That's the way the body gets sick. If you cut off one breast, they say, we better cut off both breasts because you have an increased chance of getting cancer in the other breast. Yeah, of course you do, because you haven't changed the way you're eating, living, and handling stress.
Exactly.
Or if you cut off both breasts, you'll just get cancer someplace else, or you'll get another serious disease. So here I was with what was diagnosed as terminal cancer. I was bedridden for 6 months. I had a huge tumor on my chest. If you want to go to my website at drday.com, drday.com, you can see how bad I was and then how I got totally well by changing everything in my life. And that's been now 20 years. I'm totally well and cancer-free. I have the energy of a 30-year-old, and I am only 3 years from 80. All right?
Wow.
I still work full-time. I still do all the sports I did when I was 20 years old. I'm totally well and cancer-free. And I started studying the Bible because I said, I know everything every other doctor knows, and I know we don't know how to cure cancer. You know why? How doctors don't know how to cure cancer? Because doctors develop cancer at the same rate as the general population. And doctors die of cancer at the same rate as the general population. So if doctors knew how to prevent and reverse cancer, they wouldn't get it. And if they did get it, they wouldn't die from it. But they do
exactly.
At the same rate as the general population. So why would you go to a doctor for your cancer?
Exactly. When I was a little kid, I just assumed that doctors and nurses would never get sick because it just made sense to me. I was like 4 or 5. It just made sense to me that they knew how to cure everything. And then, of course, as I got older, I recognized that was a big fallacy.
They don't know how to cure anything. All we're ever taught in our medical training is 2 things. We're taught to give drugs to cover up your symptoms. And drugs never cure disease, and almost every major drug that is given to a patient has over 100 serious side effects.
Oh,
so they just cause other diseases. All right? And then we're taught to cut off your body parts or cut out your organs. Well, I knew I didn't develop breast cancer because I had too many breasts, so cutting them off would not solve my problem.
We are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back 6 minutes after the hour.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Deanna, and this is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Our guest today is Dr. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. It is now, in the Chicago suburbs, 15 below zero, with a wind chill of 30 below. So please, no one talk to me about how cold you are in Texas or Florida or somewhere. It is really cold here.
I'm in California near Palm Springs. I won't tell you how warm it is here either. It's beautiful weather outside. This beautiful weather is going to be about 70 degrees today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the sun is shining. That's one thing that is good, but it is so, so cold. You just dare not go outside. It's so cold.
Yeah.
So anyway, you were talking about, in the first hour, you were talking about people like Katy Perry and Britney Spears and you're talking really referring to our culture or what has become our culture, when you're talking about the music industry, Hollywood industry, the movies and entertainment. And I think you could also include sports in that.
Yes.
And, This is just, it has created an artificial culture.
Well, it has created a satanic, filthy, degenerate culture. It is
exactly.
Also artificial, but everybody's buying into it. And this is part of what the New World Order Illuminati wants. They want people to be engaged in being Twitter fans of somebody like Kim Kardashian, who has no talents whatsoever. No talents whatsoever. She has 14 million Twitter followers. Nobody is spending any time thinking about their life, being introspective, thinking about what's happening to this country. This is the plan to keep them all engaged in texting each other and posting stuff on Facebook and being involved in minutia. And you know, Christians talk about, oh, I gotta take America back. Yeah, with what? When you've got Kim Kardashian having 14 million Twitter followers, that tells you something about our culture. There's a guy who goes out on the street and does fake surveys, Mark Dice, who asks people questions. Like he had them look on a world map and pick out North Korea and South Korea. 80% of them looking for North Korea and South Korea picked out Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. He also goes on, he said, now... You know, with the economic downturn, Obama is going to defund the concentration camps. You know, we've got concentration camps for dissidents, and we really want to keep those going. You know, he's faking it there. We want to keep it. Would you please sign this petition for that? And they all sign it.
Amazing.
I mean, they're not thinking. Nobody's thinking. So the idea that we're going to take America back, with whom and by whom and what from? I mean, people are engaged in everything else in their mind except what's really happening. Now this is very important about the concentration camps. Concentration camps are all built. They're ready to go. Most of the military bases that were closed down have been revamped into concentration camps. I have inside information that in each of these camps, there's a guillotine. This is very important with what we know about the Noahide laws, because people who are Christians, it says that the penalty for idolatry, which is worshiping Jesus Christ, is being beheaded. And the Illuminati loves that idea because it is the most frightening thing for everybody else. And people, the Christian world will fall like dominoes when saying, if you don't give up your faith, we're going to cut your head off. All right? Or if you don't give up your faith, you're not going to have any food. We're going to a cashless society. One of the Scandinavian countries, actually this year, I have heard, is planning to start a cashless society where everybody will have a number. You know, 98% of all transactions in America already are cashless.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so it will take nothing to get us to a totally cashless society, which is what the government wants, because they don't want any cash transactions. They want to keep track of them all. And bartering will become a crime, penalized by imprisonment. So you can't just trade stuff.
Sure. So now, you brought up something very interesting, Dr. Day. Even if you don't put things on a credit card, I have a friend who went into a Walgreens drugstore and was purchasing some items. He looked at the price that was, you know, attached to the item. When he took his items up to the clerk said, do you have a Walgreens ID card? And he'd been going to the same store for 10 years, buying the same product. And he said, well, no. And so she wanted to charge him $2 more per item than right. What was on the shelf price. And of course, he just walked away because he's an independent thinker and would not agree to this. And so it doesn't, even if you don't use your credit card, a lot of the stores, Walgreens and I don't know what other stores, Target and some of these other big stores, are asking for your ID number in order to even do business with you.
That's right. What they want to do it for two reasons. Number one, NSA, National Security Agency, and all these other government spying agencies are tracking everything you're buying. And plus, they want to sell the information to corporations so they can send you emails and send you and target you for their products. But the worst thing is that they want to know what your purchasing habits are so then they can withhold those from you if you don't sign on with the New World Order. Signing on with the New World Order means that you can have food and shelter, because if you don't, they will drop your number out of the computer and you will not be allowed to buy or sell, which is what it says in Revelation 13. Now, this is the first time in the history of the world where they could implement what's in Revelation 13, which is those who follow the Lord will not be allowed to buy or sell. Until they were able to have computers and the technology for a cashless society, that could not be implemented. So we are there now, where they're going to implement a cashless society. So this is, again, the Bible says, watch and beware. I will tell you the signs of the times, except nobody's watching. So now they have the concentration camps with guillotines in there, and they're going to put away dissidents. And that's you and me. So, but here's a very important thing that's just now, you'll notice that just in January of this year, 2014, there are a number of articles on the internet talking about Sharon, Ariel Sharon, the former prime minister of Israel, that he's near death. He's suffering from kidney failure and all that. However, I have an article from the World Tribune, which I'm holding right in front of me, from Friday, January 6, 2006. That's 8 years ago. Today. Okay? January 6th. Mm-hmm. World Tribune is reporting that Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon died at 1 p.m. Israeli time.
Really?
He's dead. He's been dead for 8 years. Okay? But then they withdrew that article and they said, oh, no, he's in a coma and he's going to be in a coma. All right? Well, right before he died, he gave a speech, and in the speech he said the following, and I quote, "We cannot continue holding under enslavement occupation the Palestinians. To hold 3.5 million Palestinians under occupation is, in my opinion, a very bad thing. It cannot continue forever." Apparently, he had a pang of conscience. But I've seen this video of him making this speech. Netanyahu is in the audience, and you can see the angry look on his face. Shortly after Ariel Sharon gave this speech, he was a dead man. However, now then they withdrew that and said, oh, no, he's just in a coma. I'm a physician. I'm a trauma surgeon. I've taken care of all sorts of people who've been in a coma. A man of 77 does not last in a coma for 8 years.
Okay, let's pick that up. I'm sorry to interrupt, but let's pick that up on the other side of the break in 3 minutes. We'll be right back. We're talking about Ariel Sharon, and you said just before the break that you have taken care of people, and you know for a fact that people his age and in his condition cannot live in a coma for as long as they say that he did.
That's correct. And first of all, he died on January 6, 2006, all right? What is today? January 6, 2014. These articles about him starting to be in grave condition started on January 1, 2014, leading up to this. So they're going to let him at least die in people's minds. He's been dead for 8 years, but they're going to let him die and probably have a state funeral now when the man's been dead for 8 years. The reason that people age 77 don't survive, most even young people, if they're in a coma, don't survive a long time, but there have been a few that have survived for many years, but those are young people. Older people cannot survive in a coma, and the reason is they're bedridden. They aren't moving around, so they don't breathe. They breathe very shallowly. They get pneumonia and die. Number two is they'll get kidney failure and die because when you are bedridden and in a coma, you have to be catheterized. And you have to be catheterized multiple times because you can't leave an indwelling catheter in more than a couple of weeks or the patient will get infected. But when you take it out and put a new one back in and take it out and put a new one back in every 2 weeks, they do develop bladder infections which go up into the ureters and into the kidneys, so they die of kidney failure. And that's what they're saying about him, always dying of kidney failure. Or they get pressure sores because when you're lying in bed and you're being fed by an IV, you lose weight. It's not like your regular eating and exercising and all that. So they lose weight, and their bony prominences become, the skin over the bony prominences starts breaking down. My mother was involved in a horrible accident from the negligence of a family friend, a head injury. I took care of her at home for 8 months. I had to turn her every 2 hours so she wouldn't get pressure sores. But when you have somebody 8 years, they're going to get pressure sores and they die of overwhelming infection. So number one, that cannot happen. He cannot survive 8 years in a coma at his age. That's number one. Number two, I've got a picture of him, and this picture is taken on June 8, 2013. It's clearly a wax figure. Then they say, well, it's an artist's impression. But if it's an artist's impression, they've got him, and I'm looking at this. This is on HTTP JudeoChristianChurch.com. Okay, here it is. This was in June of this past year. All right, they got Ariel Sharon in a blue dress shirt in bed with a collar on it, which buttons in the front, as all shirts do. Well, anybody who is bedridden, whether in the hospital or under home care, never has anything on that buttons in the front.
you'll notice when you are in the hospital, you wear a gown that always ties or snaps in the back. All right? Because then you don't have to move the patient around to get that off of them to bathe them or whatever. You don't ever have somebody who is in a coma in a dress shirt in bed. Not only that, there is an IV bottle hanging by his bedside. And on the video, they show his IV. Well, it's a total fake IV because when you put in a needle for an IV, you have got to secure that very, very firmly on the hand with tape. And then you put a dressing over it. There is no tape. There is no dressing. And it's kind of a ball, which is no IV ever looks like that. And they've got it going up the sleeve of his shirt. Well, in order to get it from the bottle, they'd have to put it up the back of his shirt, over his shoulder, and down his sleeve. That's ridiculous. They never do that. Now, this is a total fake. And not only that, they have a nurse nearby who picks up his hand. The hand is clearly stiff as a board. It is a wax dummy. Okay?
Amazing.
But now they're trying to get everybody ready for his death. Well, here's one of the important parts. There's a famous rabbi who died last June. He was called Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri. And when he died last June, 200,000 Israelis were in his procession. So he was kind of the hotsy-totsy rabbi that all the other rabbis genuflected to. So anyway, he said before he died that he had met with God and that God had told him who the Jewish Messiah was. But he wrote it down. He said, I don't want this to be divulged until after my death. And his son even agrees and affirms that he did that. So after he died, they opened up this thing where he said he was told by God who the Jewish Messiah was, but that the Jewish Messiah would not come until after Ariel Sharon's death. See how we're tying all this in?
Amazing.
Okay? So they're telling people that Sharon is still alive, but now they're saying he's close to death. All right? So when they finally opened the paper that this Rabbi Kaduri wrote down as to who the Jewish Messiah was, guess who they found out it was? Jesus. Okay?
Amazing.
Now, what do they do with that? That's a perfect setup for the fall.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Which will only occur after Ariel Sharon dies, and they have kept him supposedly alive, according to, you know, the propaganda, for 8 years. And now, on the anniversary of his death today, I have four articles here from different sources on the Internet talking about Ariel Sharon's condition is deteriorating, he's near death, he's got kidney failures, blah, blah, blah. So they're planning something. I'm sure you know about Project Bluebeam. Project Bluebeam.
Yes. But we need to know more about it.
Yes. Project Bluebeam, they have had the ability to do for at least 18 years. It's by hologram and lasers. They will be able to project in the sky what people think Jesus looks like and Muhammad and Buddha and Krishna, and it will look like they're coming in the sky. And this Jesus, who will be an Antichrist Jesus, will say, you know, we all need to get together because they're also planning a fake alien invasion. When Reagan was president, he said publicly, he said, you know, it's very difficult for all the nations of the world, the leaders, to get together. But if we only had an invasion from outer space, everybody would get together rapidly.
Sure.
So they're also planning that, which will be done with lasers and holograms. And so they'll come in, and then these figures in the sky will say, we need to all get together in unity, and then all of these figures will blend together in the sky, and it will be left with Jesus, the false Christ, the Antichrist, who will say, now we're all one, but we have to all believe the same thing, and of course it will eventually be the worship of Lucifer.
Wow. And of course, they start talking about alien invaders right after World War II.
That's right.
And, to get us ready.
to get us ready, and that's why they have all these movies about alien invasion, and even the Disney program Beauty and the Beast is part of the indoctrination for that, which tells you that ugly characters are really wonderful.
Oh, and what about all these vampire programs and the Living Dead kind
of
programs?
All a form of Satanism. It's all a form of Satanism. See, Satan has something for everyone. Satan has something for everyone. He's not going to come at Christians with absolute Satan worship. He's going to come at Christians with degenerating their true doctrines and making them into New Age believers. That's what he's going to do. And then, but eventually they will force all Christian religions to combine under the Catholic Church. And that false religion, the apostasy that they'll all be in, by the way, the Jews own the Catholic Church. They invaded it.
Let's pick this up on the other side of the break. We have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. The author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. And somebody posted the website for the picture of, or the image of Ariel Sharon. Absolutely. That is so fake and so wax. Oh, unbelievable.
And you see, he's got a blue shirt with a collar on it with buttons down the front.
That's ridiculous.
I'm surprised he didn't have a tie on him, and then he's got an IV by him. But there's a video of it, and they actually show his IV in his hand. You'll see there's no dressing over it, there's no taping down of it, and it's got kind of a ball on the top of it. No IV looks like that. I mean, I've been a trauma surgeon for 35 years. That's not how it's done.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So, yeah,
now somebody posted in the chat room that in 1823 that the Catholic Church turned over the keys to the Vatican Bank to the Rothschilds.
Well, that's the Catholic Church has owned the Jews have owned the Catholic Church for a long time, particularly since about the 8th century when the Catholic Church during the Spanish Inquisition told the Jews that if they did not convert to Catholicism, they would be killed. So international Jewry told the Jews to pretend to convert, but get inside the Catholic Church and take it over. Well, we know that the Jesuits who actually run the Catholic Church, the head of the Jesuits is always referred to in the Catholic Church as the Black Pope. He's not black. His skin is not black. He is the real Pope behind the scene. The Pope in front is like Pope John Paul, Pope Benedict, Pope Francis, but it's the Jesuit, the chief of the Jesuits, who actually runs the Catholic Church. Ignatius Loyola started the Jesuits. Ignatius Loyola was a Jew, and every head of the Jesuits has been a Jew. And so when a Jesuit takes an oath, it's a blood oath like the Freemasons take. If I give my life to the Pope and I will do everything I am told to do, including killing my own family. I mean, this is the kind of oath they take. If anybody is not a Catholic, they, if ordered to, will kill them. All right, so in the 8th century, during the Spanish Inquisition, the Jews who pretended to convert to Catholicism, but didn't really, were called the Muranos. And you can look this up. You can Google it. And the Muranos eventually took over the Catholic Church. Pope John Paul was a Polish Jew. Pope Benedict was a German Jew. I haven't had time to investigate about Pope Francis, but Benedict resigned suddenly and
yes,
quietly.
Did.
Yes, and that was because there were suits being brought against the Catholic Church because Benedict, when John Paul was Pope, Benedict was his guy who was in charge of covering up the sexual assaults on children. And so they were suing them, and they were going to go against the assets of the Vatican, which are enormous, and they were going to arrest him, and suddenly he disappeared. That's why he resigned.
Right, because I think that's the only pope that has ever resigned. Usually they die.
Yeah, right. And, you know, the thing about the popes, too, this is always interesting. Pope John Paul, who seemed to be a good man, but he was the one that was trying to unify the whole Christian world, and that's still going on. He got it all in motion. But, you know, he had severe Parkinson's, until he died. Now, if you're really a Christian, you will know that in Deuteronomy 7:11-15, God says, if you obey my laws, my commandments, and my decrees, I will keep you free from every disease. You never hear that preached about in the churches. Churches are full of people who are sick and dying. They think it has nothing to do with the way they're living, eating, and handling stress. Oh, you know, I just got this disease because we live in a sinful world. That's what preachers preach. But that's not true. God says, if you obey my laws, that includes his health laws, my commandments, and my decrees, that includes forgiving everyone who's ever wronged you, that includes loving your enemies, that includes being against all war, which is nothing less than corporate murder. That means getting rid of fear, anxiety, anger, grudge-holding, and having the heart of Jesus Christ. He will keep you free from every disease. And he says in Psalms 103:3 that he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, but only if we trust him and do it his way. Because the Bible refers to all drug medications as sorceries and witchcraft. It's in Revelation 18:23. It says the whole world was deceived by their sorceries, and that word sorceries in the Greek in which the New Testament was written is the word pharmacy.
Wow. And there are some churches that actually have invested in the pharmaceutical industry.
Of course. But it says in there, the whole world will be deceived by their pharmacy. The Greek word is pharmakia. And it calls anybody who dispenses drug medications a pharmakon. And the definition of that word in the Greek is poisoner.
Wow. Now, okay. You mentioned the infiltration of the churches, and
yes,
that happened through the seminaries and
in the
1850s.
Oh, it's been going on for a very long time, but it's getting worse and worse.
Sure.
And they've got lots of pastors who are actually just infiltrators meant to turn these churches, and a lot of them are Jews. I know a Christian church in Costa Mesa, where the assistant pastor is a Jew who wears a yarmulke and wears a prayer shawl. And there are seminaries that are training Christian rabbis. How do you like that for an oxymoron?
Right. Well, Judeo-Christian is an oxymoron.
It's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as Judeo-Christian. Judaism is the antagonist of Christianity. It is the opposite. It says that, in fact, in the Talmud, it says that when the rabbis argue with God, the rabbis always win, and God does what they say. God does what the rabbis tell him to do. How do you like that one?
Now, you mentioned, yes, that is amazing. I've read that also.
Yeah.
When you talked about the pedophilia in the Catholic Church, do you think that that was the infiltration of the Jewish interest or the Jewish proclivities that occurred? I don't know when this started.
Yes, in the 8th century, yes, it was, because in the Talmud, it promotes pedophilia in the Talmud. And if you've been on the Internet, you've seen that there are a number of articles about severe cases of pedophilia in Orthodox Jews, including rabbis, in New York, particularly New York City. And they're trying to cover all this up. But pedophilia is promoted in the Talmud, the Jewish holy book. It says that a rabbi can have sex with a 3-year-old girl, and it is nothing, and her virginity will return. Okay? So So they are promoting this. And the other thing is people say, well, you know, but it's being exposed. Well, that's what they do. You see, here's what they do. They actually promote it in the Catholic Church, but then they expose it. And the reason they're exposing it, promoting it and exposing it, is because they want the rank and file people to lose faith in all of their religion. This is part of them getting to, they're going to take them to atheism, and then because the Jews know that in everybody's heart there is a desire to worship, and God has put that there because we're supposed to be worshiping Him, they know that there's a desire to worship. So when they get fed up with all these religions and they become atheists, then they will take them to the worship of Lucifer.
Okay, and that's part of the eliminating the Christians. And
that's right.
My question is, if they're going to be eliminating Christianity and all these Christians, who are the Christians that they plan on beheading?
Well, just the few that are truly Christians.
Okay.
Because the others are going to just go, they're going to give up their religion. And you'll notice it doesn't take much to give up the religion. There's hardly any religion in Christian churches now. I mean, it's really a social network if you go there now.
Sure.
I remember when I was a child and we went to church, we were always quiet and respectful in the sanctuary. Now it's like a party. Oh, let's hug this one. That used to go on outside the church, not in the sanctuary. And they sing happy birthday to people. I mean, it's just like going to the country
club. Or they have a band.
Yeah, right. And people think that if you have rock music and it has the words Jesus in it, that it's Christian music. Well, it's not. And that's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth?
Right. All righty. We are going to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. And Dr. Day will be back tomorrow and on Wednesday. And hopefully we can discuss more about this as well as other topics. We do have a caller. I didn't actually open the phone lines yet, but we do have a caller that's been holding on. So why don't we go ahead and take this caller?
Sure.
Frank in Las Vegas. Frank, welcome.
Yeah, hello, ladies. I beg to differ with you on Ariel Sharon. I suspect that, like many Jews before him, he faked his death because he's got a bounty on his head and he's an international war criminal. What do you think of that?
Well, that's always an easy out. I'm certain that there are many hoaxes. But as I said, faking his death at the age of 77, he's 85 now. He's extremely overweight at that time. Maybe Elvis faked his death, and we do know Tim McVeigh's death was faked. We can talk about that in another day. But it is highly unlikely, because Ariel Sharon and Benjamin Netanyahu were enemies, and he died shortly after he rebuffed what Israel has been trying to do for decades, and that is wipe out the Palestinians. So, time will tell if you are correct. If you are correct, I'll reevaluate how I feel, but I believe he died in 2006. Just like Osama bin Laden died in 2001, and they kept saying that he was alive because then they could invade every country, and then they had a fake killing of Osama bin Laden recently. That was a hoax, too.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, thank you for your phone call. Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, Osama bin Laden actually was on dialysis, and he died of renal failure in 2001. He had nothing, of course, to do with the 9/11, and his family was taken out of America to safety when there was a no-fly edict given, and yet his family was protected because Osama bin Laden was worked for the CIA under the name of Tim Osman. I've got pictures of him doing that, and was in arms dealing, and he worked with the CIA all the time, and he actually was a Jew.
Interesting. All righty.
Osama, see, the Wahhabi dynasty in Saudi Arabia, people must never stop to think, why are Israel and the United States allies of Saudi Arabia, which is supposed to be a horrible Muslim country? But the Wahhabi dynasty that runs Saudi Arabia are actually crypto-Jews. And for those that are new listeners to your program, a crypto-Jew is a Jew who pretends to be a Gentile. And there are a lot of those around, and they control the whole Saudi Arabia. That's why, since they're Jews, they're close allies with the United States and Israel. By the way, another crypto-Jew was Lyndon Johnson, who was a president. He was a crypto-Jew. Eisenhower was a crypto-Jew because he was Jewish and pretended to be a Gentile. And so is Hillary Clinton, and probably Bill Clinton, because Hillary Clinton, a Jew, who has admitted she's a Jew, her maiden name was not Rodham, it was Roditsky. And she would not marry a non-Jew. The Rockefellers are crypto-Jews. They're Jews. Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, his family name was Rosen, V-E-L-D-T, Rosenvelt. They were Jewish. Winston Churchill's mother was a Jew, Jenny Jerome. He was Jewish.
Right. Yeah, I've got two books about her, and it doesn't say that in the book. In the books, but of course, the books were written by Jews.
But if you look at the genealogy, that's what you see. And so it was Winston Churchill, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Joseph Stalin, all Jews, who actually declared war on Germany in World War II, not the other way around.
Yeah. That is interesting. There are people who would say no, that Stalin was not Jewish. But if he wasn't, he certainly worked for them, and a lot of the people in his administration, a lot of people in his government were Jewish, and he also married Jews. So
the wives that he married were all Jews, and his name was not Joseph Stalin. It was a name, a Russian name that I cannot pronounce, and he was Jewish, yeah. But, you know, that's what a lot of people want to say. Israel, the nation of Israel now has 22,000 young people on the internet trying to put in disinformation in chat rooms and trying to intimidate people who tell the truth about Israel. And for doing so, they will get their college education paid for in Israel.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes. They have 22,000 disinformation agents on the internet working all the time spreading disinformation.
Yes, we need to talk about that tomorrow. We do have another phone call. Let's take Robert in Missouri. Robert, welcome.
Greetings, ladies. You know that there's a group out there called the Jewish Internet Defense Force. Look them up. That's probably who you're talking about.
Yes.
And you got Hasbara too. They're always trolling on the internet, trying to stir up discord and throw out misinformation and disinformation all over the place. You know, if you get into the writings of the Communist International back during the Bolshevik Revolution, they encouraged all the Jewish Bolsheviks to take on Russian names to hide their identity, when like 90-some-odd% of all the commissars in the whole Soviet Union were all Jewish. Well, at the same time, they did this holo-hoax in Germany because the real Holocaust was going on in Russia, where they killed like 100 million Christian white people. And this is this Talmudic tactic of always throwing people's attention off to another realm while the real evil is going on somewhere else. And that's what the whole Holocaust industry is. The real Holocaust went on in Russia, and where they killed all these, white Russian Christian people. And then they brought in Mao over there, Mao's minister of the economy and the minister of information or propaganda. They were both Jewish guys. You can look at these pictures of Mao Zedong. One of them's named Epstein, and the other one, I can't remember his name right now. But the largest democides, on the whole planet were orchestrated by this cabal. And,
you're absolutely right. Everything you've said is absolutely correct. And even on my website, I have a picture of a young Mao Zedong with his advisors, and all of them are New York Jews.
Exactly. They infiltrated China a long, long time ago.
And the reason they allowed Nixon to be president, the only reason, was to open trade with China, because the American public at that time would not have taken it from a Democrat, but they would take it from a, what they considered a conservative Republican. So they had him open trade with communist China, and then after that, then they absolutely destroyed him because they were done with him. And what they already had done was they had eliminated as his running mate Spiro Agnew before they even took office and put Gerald Ford in there. And then when they got rid of Nixon, Gerald Ford, who was never elected, became president when Nixon resigned. And then Rockefeller, a crypto Jew, was appointed as vice president. And the plan was to shoot Gerald Ford, which they tried to do, but it didn't work because they were going to put Rockefeller in, who was a crypto Jew Illuminati member. And then they were going to take over the United States completely by that, except Nelson Rockefeller foiled their plans by, dying in bed with one of his paramours while he was married to somebody else.
Wow. Well, oh, my goodness. We will pick all this up tomorrow. That is amazing. And
but, of course, there are no conspiracies. No conspiracies, right? No conspiracies.
Exactly.
Everything is a conspiracy.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right. I'm afraid you're absolutely right. And the infiltration that Robert talked about, I think we should focus on that again tomorrow also.
Okay.
Could I fit in one more thing real quick?
Sure.
Yes, real quick.
The future king of England, born of Prince William and Kate Middleton, is Jewish. Kate Middleton's mother's maiden name is Goldsmith. So now you got a prince waiting in line in England right now for the British throne who is technically Jewish.
But all of the royal family already is Jewish. They're crypto Jews. Queen Elizabeth is Jewish.
Amazing. All righty.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
We'll talk about all this tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk with you tomorrow. Thank you, Dr. Day.
Sure, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.